Good morning. I'm Adam. I'm an addict.
Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
I'm a little emotional this morning. I want to say before I forget, thank you for asking me to speak. It's a tremendous honor. I want to just get this out of the way. This morning we celebrate 6 years clean. And I'll spend a half hour telling you how I did it. If you'd have told me 6 years ago that I would be at a place like this with you fine people, sharing about a God of my understanding, I'd have asked you to please pass whatever you were smoking, because it had to be amazing. And this is nice. This is beautiful. It's the great irony of my recovery that I always seem to get asked to speak on this topic, because I've struggled with it. I've really struggled with it. When I got here, and for a long time, I considered myself an atheist. And I say that, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to think that I was angry at God, or that I was feeling distant from God. I just didn't believe at all. And, you know, I came in and out for a long time, and I had a lot of reasons, and the biggest one being I just wasn't done yet. But I always allowed my feelings on God to get in the way, and I would talk myself out the door pretty quickly, because I kept thinking that this clearly was not the place for me. And after years and years and years of struggling and trying everything to control my using, stop my using, I had nowhere else to go. And I came back here and I made a decision to just kind of stay quiet about how I felt. Because I'll be really honest with you, I was scared that you were going to tell me that this just wasn't going to work for me. You know, that at some point you need to have a conversion experience, or I'm sorry. You know, I heard things like, if you ain't praying, you ain't staying, and it freaked me out, because I was really uncomfortable, and I tried to be the guy who didn't believe in God who prayed, and it was never comfortable for me. But I was so scared to use that I just kept doing it. I didn't talk about it for a long time, and this is the first time I ever picked up a 30-day key tag. I never stayed clean for more than like 2 weeks. You know, I'd be in a rehab facility, broken, and I would get out, and I just one more, and then I'll come back. I'm just gonna dip my toe in real quick, and then I'll come back, and maybe a year or two later, I'd be lucky enough to make it back. And this time I started to put together a little time, and I started to make some friends, and I started to develop a relationship with a sponsor. And I just still didn't really talk about it, because it was working for me. Like, I was staying clean. And, look, I got to tell you that the basic text has, and I'll paraphrase because I don't know it exactly, but it talks about that for some of us, the talk of God repulsed us. And that was true for me. You know, for a long time, I would hear people talk about the God of their understanding and how God worked in their life. And I'm not going to mince words. I'm just going to be really honest with you. In my head, I'm rolling my eyes because I don't get it. And the fear started to grow and grow and grow that, like, this is just not going to work for me. Like, I'm gonna have to find something else. And it got to the point where, like, I was sitting on step 2 and 3 because I was afraid that the end result was going to be, yep, sorry, this isn't going to work for you. And I finally sat down with my sponsor and I told him, and it was almost like coming out in some way, like, I got to tell you, man, like, I don't believe at all. And I'm scared. And he didn't shame me. He didn't tell me all the things. We tell ourselves, I tell myself these narratives in my head. You know, I had built this up like you guys were going to somehow revolt and kick me out. Or somehow just say that I was working less of a program than you or a different program than you. I just, whatever. I had all these thoughts in my head. And my sponsor did what he always did, which was just love me and tell me to keep coming. And I started to be more open about it with friends. And I remember the first time I shared in a meeting. Keep in mind, I've been building up to this for a long time. And I shared this in a meeting, and the dude right after me was like, yeah, I don't think you can do this if you don't believe in God. So, like, my public service announcement this morning is if somebody shares that shit in a meeting, don't say that. Like, because I don't, really? Really? So, fortunately, I kept coming. And I started to meet people who had struggles like I did. And I received some very simple advice at one point, which was, maybe what you need to do is stop focusing on what you don't believe in and focus on what you do believe in. And that shit was revolutionary. Because, like it says, of our understanding, I carried a lot of weight with me in this, with this, because I grew up with a very specific idea of God. And it wasn't the God for me. But that's the God I had. When you said God, and I know what we say, I heard people talking about good orderly direction and all that stuff, but, like, mine was like white guy with a beard with, like, thunderbolts. And it wasn't loving, and it wasn't forgiving, and it wasn't all those things that we say it has to be. And I like to think that I'm a pretty smart guy, but when it came to this, like, I was just really close-minded. I didn't think I was being close-minded, but I was. Because you know what? That and whatever. I hope that I didn't come off as insulting, because, like, whatever works for you works for you, but it wasn't working for me, and I needed to start focusing on what worked for me. And when I worked my second step with my sponsor, and we talked about powers greater than me, he had to break it down for me like I was 5 years old. Like, he said simple things to me, and this will sound silly, but it was very important to me at the time. If you want to call me, he's asking me this, if you want to call me, or if you want to talk to me, can you yell? I live 20 miles away from you. Will I hear you? No. Well, who do we need? We need the phone company and we need the electric company. Those are powers greater than you. And he just started breaking it down for me in a way that kind of made me laugh, but also made me understand that I was surrounded by powers greater than me. And I would sometimes hear people say that my higher power is the rooms, and for whatever reason, that just kind of went over my head. And for a long time, like, the power greater than me, the God of my understanding was just the power of numbers, man. It was us recovering together, because I couldn't do this alone. And that's where this kind of journey, that's where this journey started for me. So last night, we didn't camp here last night, because I don't know where he went, that little baby running around, that's mine. We just decided to get a hotel, so we hotel camped. And at about 4 in the morning, he woke me up screaming. He must have had a bad dream. And so I woke up at 4, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I've given about 17 leads in my head already this morning, and they were amazing. Like, I was saying some shit laying in that bed. And the unfortunate thing is that, like, I know how this goes, and, like, that's all gone. It's gone. Because, yeah, I know you can't plan these things. And so I'm having one of those moments. I'm like, wow, what was that thing I said? It was so good. I don't consider myself an atheist today because I don't like the label because it implies that I'm inflexible. I like to think of myself as a seeker. How do I say this? Like, I'm no longer repulsed by talk of God. I'm a little envious. I want a deeper relationship, and I want more. And I have seen what has happened in my life, and I just have faith that if I just keep going, that I'll develop a deeper relationship with whatever's going on. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a lot going on in my head, and I'm feeling almost like I need to share where I'm at today. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't really have a lot of wisdom on this subject. What I can tell you is that I have struggled for 6 years, and I'm still here. So, like, if you're new and this is a struggle for you, that's okay. You struggle here with us. I've got people here with me today who I love like family and who love me. And I often refer to my higher power as love because it's those times when I get that where I start to feel in touch with the universe, you know, is when sometimes it's as simple as a hug in a meeting and sometimes it's as simple as a phone call. I've had some pretty heavy and deep moments in recovery. And I will tell you that, like, my life has gone so well in recovery that it's been easy to walk with faith that things are going to be okay. I haven't had a lot of doubt in that respect. I went from my wife and I couldn't even be in the same room to we're more in love than I thought two people could be. I went from being a terrible, neglectful father of two to an adored father of four. I went from being unemployable to owning a couple businesses. If you'd have told me 6 years ago what was going to happen to me, I would not have believed you. But even all that being said, I'm struggling right now because I've got big boy fears and big boy problems, and so often I go on gut. And it's ironic that I have to speak about this morning because believing what I believed or not believing what I believed, you know, it taught me a lot about footwork. I didn't wait for things to happen. I just kept moving, and I would walk with this kind of, I just was assured that it was just going to be okay. I just felt it in my gut, and I'm not feeling that right now. Like, I feel really raw and vulnerable. Like, I went from feeling, like, really, like, grateful and, like, rainbows and Skittles and shit 10 minutes ago to, like, right now I feel really raw and scared because I may have some big changes coming up, and I think, it's funny that this thing just popped in my head. One of my favorite quotes is, take change by the hand or rest assured it will take you by the throat. And That's where I'm at right now because I'm resisting it because I don't know what's on the other side. I don't know. And it's times like this where I wish I had a deeper faith because I'm terrified. You know, I hear things like fear is a lack of faith. I don't know whether I believe that or not. But I do know that... Well, here's what was going on. My biggest problem in recovery is when I say this. I got this. It's just a little road bump. I don't need to share about this shit in meetings. I don't need to call my sponsor. I don't need to talk to my friends. Like, I go on my gut. I got this. Well, that shit's not working right now. Because my gut is telling me nothing. I don't know where to go. And I'm scared. And I'm unsure. And I'm not confident. And there's no... Like, I felt like when I got clean, all of a sudden, like, paths lit up in front of me. Like, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. This is where you're supposed to go. And it's not happening. It's all just gray and cloudy. And I want to run and hide. Because anytime I start to take a couple steps forward, I back up and I just, you know what? I don't know. And I don't know if it's I'm scared of making a mistake. If I'm scared of being wrong, maybe that's it. My sponsor once said to me, like, what is the biggest problem with believing in God? Is that you'd have to admit that you've been wrong for a long time? And I was pissed off when he said that. But, you know, maybe. And maybe that's what's going on now. Like, maybe I'm just really scared to make a bad decision. And, you know, it's really easy for me to pile weight on top of it. And say, you know, it's not just about me. It's that I also have 4 kids, and it's also that I have a wife. It occurred to me the other night when I was driving to a meeting, I'm the sick and suffering addict right now. And I went to a meeting, and I did something I don't normally do, which was I just shared off topic. Because my sponsor always said, like, if you're going to get loaded, you share. I don't care what the topic is. So I went in, and it was on the 5th step, and so maybe it was appropriate to share, but... I had to say what was going on with me. I don't know, it's weird, because I feel, you know, I think you guys have that voice in your head, too. It tells you things that aren't true. And here, I'll tell you this. It's funny how I ended up here today. It's funny how things work out. I was asked to speak a few months, I guess I don't know how long ago it was. It was a few months ago. I was telling Desiree the story last night, and I had to speak on a piece of literature. And it's one thing to, like, just get up freeform and tell my story. I'm not really uncomfortable with that. But, like, I had to, like, study and shit. Like, I had to read this thing and get up and talk about it. And I felt like it was the worst lead I ever gave. I felt like I was just in the way, and I couldn't focus, and I just couldn't say what I wanted to say. And I walked away from the podium depressed. That had never happened to me before. I walked away thinking, they are never going to ask me to speak again. That was terrible, and I clearly was just in a spot where I was looking to beat myself up for something. But I kind of wanted to just hide in a corner and have nobody talk to me, and, like, don't bullshit me, don't tell me that was a great lead. I don't want to hear it. It was a terrible lead, and I've never had that reaction, but I did that night. And then, of course, the other Adam walks. He's the other Adam. I'm Adam. He's the other Adam. He walks up and was like, hey. I like what you shared. Will you come speak at a speaker jam? Like, were you in the room? Like, did you not hear what just happened? Did you not witness that train wreck? And he was like, no, man, I want you to come share on this topic. And it was from the basic text, the line, and again, I'm not really good at quoting it, but it was that a higher power of our understanding is absolute. The right to it is absolute and without condition. And so I had to speak on that. And I went and I did that lead, and that lead led to this lead. So that horrible lead where I was just beating myself up and calling people for 3 days about it led me to speaking here this morning with you guys. So I'm maybe not the best judge of things. in my head. It's crazy stuff that goes on in our heads. I'd love to tell you that the punchline here is that after 6 years I've come to some resolution and that I have this deep, unabiding, fruitful relationship with the God of my understanding. And maybe that's what you guys came here to hear about this morning. That's not the truth for me. I wish that it was. I'm not going to lie. I wish that it was. I'm no longer defiant. I'm eager and seeking. And I'm keeping an open mind and an open heart about the whole thing. I think if anything, and who am I to say what the message is, but the message is that, like, I don't have to use over it. No one has to use over it. And whether that comes easy for you or that is extraordinarily difficult, like, we can stay clean and we can recover. And I have made this work for me. Like I said, this struggle has taught me so much about myself and the way that I think and the way that I believe and the way that I view the world. And I listen more now, because it used to be that I tuned a lot out. You know, when I was first here, it was like I said, it was that revulsion where, like, I just didn't hear a word you said. When you started in on God, it was God, God, Gody, God. That's all I heard. I didn't hear anything else. No message. And then it was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Like, wah, wah, wah. That's all I heard. And, boy, I was really selling myself short there, man. Like, I was really missing out on a lot. And the pain got great enough, and it got to the point where, like, I stopped tuning out. And I was so desperate to stay here, man. And I was starting to feel secure in the love of this fellowship. I didn't want to go anywhere. And if that means I got to put some work in, and that means I got to maybe re-examine some stuff, I'm going to do that. And then, you know, I started to do those tricks. Like, I started to substitute words. And whatever got me through. And I know it sounds weird saying it out loud, but I needed to do this stuff. Because it's no joke. Like, I did not want to go use and die. And I had to do some things that made me uncomfortable. I had a friend of mine, and she said, "You borrow my higher power for a while. I want you to pray to my higher power." And I did it. I just did it because I didn't know what else to do. Because I was afraid I was on my way out the door. And it helped. It helped. And I still, I still pray, and I still work on meditating, and I try to listen, and I have found, I came in here with a very different idea of prayer. Like, when you tell me that I gotta pray, like, I got some scripted stuff in my pocket from my childhood, but that's all I really knew about prayer. So I thought you were gonna tell me that, like, I had to, you know, get on my knees and say penance, which is what I grew up with, and I wasn't really down with that. And I had some people with some time, so it's just a conversation, man. At first, just say in the morning, say please, and at night, say thank you. And that's maybe as deep as this needs to get. And so I did that. And now, like, I wake up, and it's some time that I set aside where I don't lie to myself, and where I'm honest, and I take some deep breaths, and I ask for some guidance, and I ask for some strength, and it helps me. Sometimes I do it 20 times a day, and other times I'll do it once a week, and then I get real sick. But that simple change of focusing on what I do believe in versus what I don't was, again, revolutionary to my recovery. I seek God in my relationships now. With my children, with my wife, with my friends. I'd never had a healthy relationship in my life. I never felt compassion. compassion to the point of tears for another person. I never got a chill when somebody else was happy for something. Like, I never had that connection with people. And I have that now. And those are those times where I think, maybe this is what people are talking about. When you get that chill that runs up your spine, like, I've had... Now I'm going to cry because I'm talking about my kids. I've had two kids clean. And I had a mourning period for the birth of my first two children because I was still using. And after the birth of my second child, I disappeared for a while, so I wasn't there to pick my wife up from the hospital. So that's kind of where I was at. But my other two kids, they were born in my home. And I was the first person to lay hands on my children. I caught my children. I know some people are thinking, what the fuck is wrong with you? But this was important to me. And there are no words for that. And it was both... I wish there was a stronger word than spiritual. Because that's what I want to use here. What's that quote? Like, when you have kids, you decide that your heart's going to walk around on the outside of your chest forever. Like, I felt that. And I got a little sad because I didn't really get that with my first two. I since have. I've since repaired that. Boy, that sure felt like God, if that's what God feels like. My wife and I at one point were so distant that we couldn't even speak. We actually had to sit down with a couple in recovery who taught us how to speak to one another. And we that never stops being funny to me. I've held my wife and had that feeling. That just like pure love. And that sure feels like God, if that's what God feels like. I'm amazed that my son isn't running around screaming right now, by the way. What did my wife say? You got about 2 minutes. About to start. And here he comes. My children are growing up in recovery. And when I was using, I was afraid that I was going to die. I was sure I was going to die using. And just to quickly tell you about my last day using, I woke up and I don't know about you guys, I could never save anything for the morning. And I'd be really pissed off because the one at 4 in the morning made no sense. And I'd wake up sick and every day I'd have to figure I was a magician. I woke up broke, stayed high all day. And by magician I meant a thief. And I was sitting there and I'm plotting and planning, how am I going to do today? And what's up, buddy? He wants that fire, man. I was plotting and planning my day, and I was so done. I was just so done, so sick of it. I was literally sitting outside my house throwing up stomach acid and, you know, figuring out, like, so, I mean, these are the decisions. Am I robbing grandma or mom today? You know, like that kind of shit, right? And I'm so sick of myself. And I thought, you know what, man? I would trade it all. I would trade my wife and two kids for a hotel room full of dope where I could just go die. So I don't have to do this every day, you know? And that magical hotel room full of dope doesn't exist. And I went back in the house, and I'm watching my two kids play, and at the time they were 2 and 1. And I realized that if I died that day like I wanted to, my children would not know me. They wouldn't remember me. Infantile amnesia, man. Like, I would have been their dead junkie father. And, I wasn't okay with that for me. And like that one moment, I don't know how, but under all that self-loathing and wanting to die, I all of a sudden became very concerned with living. And I told my wife, I think I want to go to rehab. It was that simple. I said, I think I want to go back. And it was, I don't even know how many times I had gone, but I didn't know what was going to be different this time, but I was going to try. And that was the last day I ever used. And now I'm in a position where my children will never know me using, potentially. So my kids don't remember me locking myself in the bathroom for hours at a time while they banged on the door and screamed. They don't remember that stuff. And I'm so grateful for that. They know me as like a fun, cool dad. They know me as a dad who's surrounded by people who love him and who care about him. And they've got like hundreds of uncles and aunts now. And I'm so grateful for that. There's no logical reason I should be standing here in front of you guys. I don't know why it's me and why so many people don't get it and why so many people died from this thing and just never get an opportunity to come here. And I had so many opportunities to come here. I was in and out forever. It's how to keep coming back, man. And that's not lost on me this morning. And that's why, no matter how much I struggle in certain areas of my recovery, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I don't promise tomorrow, but I'm getting to bed tonight without getting loaded. I'm going to do everything I can to do that. And I will continue to try to focus on the things that I do believe in. And I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. I believe in you guys. I believe in the phone company. So I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep sharing about it. And, you know, check in with me later and see how it's going for me. I love you guys. Thanks.
Okay, I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Matt M., from Miracles at Work, Group of NA in Lake Trove.
Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Matt.
Guess I'm going to be a movie star again. First, I'd like to thank Mike for asking me to come speak. Because I was taught early on to do that. I don't like speaking in front of people, but I have no choice. You know, I was told early on, anything that somebody asked me to do in Narcotics Anonymous, if I was able to do it, that I had to do it. And I couldn't come up with a good reason not to be here, so here I am. He asked me to speak on just for today. I guess that's the only reason I'm here, you know, is I didn't get high just for today. It took me a long time to really understand that concept. As simple as it is, you know, I guess I'm a slow learner sometimes. My clean date is November 3rd of 1991, and prior to that, I came in and out of the rooms for about 11 years, and I just could never get a hold of this thing. And the reason is, I didn't know that at the time, all I did was show up at a couple meetings once in a while, and I thought that that would get me all better, you know, and that didn't work. You know, it took me 11 years to finally realize that I had to do what everybody sitting in here is doing. You know, I had to take all the suggestions. And so the last rehab that I was in, two inpatient and four outpatient rehabs, and I've been dipped and sprinkled over and all kind of fancy stuff trying to get fixed. and none of it worked. I was brought up in the church, and I kept thinking that would work, you know, hearing what they tell you in church, you know, and I wanted God to just make me all better, you know. I didn't want to have to do anything to get better. But anyway, I guess out of desperation, knowing that I couldn't live that way very much longer, you know, I know that you can only put so many drugs into your body and eventually it shuts off, you know. And so I started taking the suggestion. I kept hearing about this sponsorship thing, and I wasn't quite sure what it was, and I heard you talking about it in meetings, you know. And there was a guy that was bringing the meeting in to the rehab that I was in. And so I asked him to be my sponsor, you know. And he agreed to that. And that was the start of this journey, you know. Just one day at a time, you know. That's how we stayed clean. I wasn't big on the telephone. I still aren't big on the telephone. What I did, I showed up at his house every day. Mike can attest to this. I wanted to get high every day. You know, I would go to a meeting and they'd say, anybody feel like using? I did. Every day I felt like getting high. I hated me. You know? And that was the only way I knew of getting out of myself, was to stay high all the time. So anyway, I would show up at this guy's house, and we would talk, and then he would have to go to work. So I would go and take a hostage, and it was somebody that I prepared the day before at a meeting, someone that was like myself. I was unemployable, you know. So I would go and pick them up and take this hostage for the day, and we might hit a noon meeting, or, you know, if there wasn't a noon meeting, you know, we'd go to the meeting in the evening. And that's how I lived for, I don't know, 6 months. I just took a hostage every day. I didn't trust me by myself, you know, because I knew by myself I get high. That's what I knew how to do. And I knew by coming around you people, you know, you guys were able to stay clean, you know. And I remember walking in to the first meeting out of rehab, and I walked in the door, and I saw Timmy P standing across the room. And I didn't know who the hell he was, but I remembered his face. And I thought, man, he looks a lot better than I feel. And I just could tell he had been there the last 2 years while I was out there doing my thing. And I don't know if he knows it, but he was kind of my first ray of hope, you know, that, wow, this shit must really work. I think I might have heard his lead at one time and thought that he was pretty messed up. And if he could do it, I could do it, you know. And that was the start of this whole trip. And I really try to live my life one day at a time now. It appears, you know, looking hindsight, I've done that, I think, the whole way through, but I just didn't know it. When I was 3 years clean, I went in the United States Navy, and one day at a time came in real handy in boot camp with that guy screaming in my face. And I was able to get through that, you know. I was an old man in there, actually. And that also helped me appreciate meetings, because at one point, you know, I went, I think it was 4 months without a meeting. They don't just let you up and walk out and go to a meeting when you're in there, you know. And that really helped me when I got to that meeting, that first meeting I could get to. It helped me appreciate it, you know, the power of love that goes on in here, you know. For a long time, I, you know, this higher power thing, I kind of believed in God and I hated him. I hated God, and I thought that was a stumbling block. I guess it was. Until I was able to start talking about it. And when I started talking with other people about that, some people were shocked, and a lot of people understood. You know, they hated God too. And I hated him for what he did to me, you know, or so I thought what he did to me. And my sponsor told me to go out and curse him out. So that's what I did. And we had a conversation out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody else was around to hear it because I didn't get locked up or anything. And I was screaming and going crazy, and I didn't die. You know, I didn't die. And I got that all out of me. And from there I started to grow. And I like when they talk about God of my understanding. You know, I haven't found it necessary to get high in quite some time. And I still don't understand God. You know, I don't. When I went to my first meeting, it was in that other fellowship. I was 18 years old, and I'll spare you that whole story, but it was a mistake that I ended up there. So everybody thought. But when I got to that meeting, there was a guy there, and he told me, there's only two things you need to know about God. One, there is one. And two, it ain't you. And to this day, that's what I go back to. You know, there is a God and it's not me. I still lose faith. You know. I'm real guilty of still doing that. Comparing my insides to your outsides, you know. And, you know, I still have character defects. Imagine that. And I lose faith sometimes, you know, in the God of my misunderstanding, I guess. But I go back to that. There is a God, and it's not me. And then I look around these rooms, you know, and who here got high last night? You know? Isn't that a miracle, you know? You know, Matt should have been high last night, and I imagine the most of the rest of you should have been high last night, too. Because that's what I do, you know, I get high. Through working through the steps with a sponsor, I have changed a little bit. You know, I've grown, and I guess my first reaction isn't to get high anymore. And that was always my first reaction to everything. And today, I don't react so quickly, you know. I step back, you know, and I pray about it. And a lot of times I get those answers, you know. A lot of times they're simple, you know. The answer is no, you know. I was confronted here about 3 months ago with a guy, caught me off guard, you know. He came up to me and wanted me to get high. And I really don't hang around those kind of people anymore. I guess it's the way I look, I don't know. I was shocked because my first reaction was, no, I don't do that anymore, you know. And then I got the hell out of there. That bothered me, because later on, I didn't have a reaction. I didn't freak out about it, you know. I didn't sit and contemplate, you know, well, why didn't you say yes? You know, it was just my natural reaction. And then when I got to my home group, I shared about that, you know. Because I have to be careful and remember that I'm not fixed. You know, I'm not cured yet. I keep coming to meetings to remember that, you know, because I too have a lot of friends that aren't in here anymore, I guess because they got cured, you know, and they're not here. You know, this is a serious disease, you know, And as we all know, a lot of us don't make it. I have a guy right now that I know that actually worked with him, you know. I don't know where he's at right now. You know, he's been through a bunch of rehabs and halfway houses, and reminds me a lot of me. You know, and I tried talking with him, and he, I guess he thought he had life made, you know, when he got out this last time, and we don't know where he's at. He's gone. But, you know, I keep hoping in the back of my mind that I bet a lot of people thought that of me for those 11 years when I was coming in and out too, you know, because I would disappear for long periods of time. I know when I put one in me, I know what happens. You know, I was fortunate when I finally got here this time, I understood that. I understood that I'm a drug addict. When I do one, I'm gone. And who knows when I'm ever coming back. And I just went blank. So, yeah, that's all I have. So, thanks for everybody coming here. I hope everybody had a good weekend. And just for today, I hope it doesn't rain on everybody, okay? So, thanks.